Okay, Bulldog Live continues here on the Pulse at 1-866-823-1077. Brian at BrianTilton.com. After we're done talking with Christoph Gorshain, I'll share with you some more responses I've gotten from elected officials, and it's not very impressive. But anyway, Christoph Gorshain from Conservation Law Foundation, in calling for the open and transparent process, number one, but also the scope of the study for the EIS from the Department of Energy on the Northern Pass proposal. Can you explain to our listeners why it's so important that it be so broad?
So the environmental impact statement that the Department of Energy is going to put together is going to basically cast a shadow over every process that will be done, whether you talk about the Forest Service considering the special use permit for crossing the White Mountain National Forest, and especially if you consider the state process before the Site Evaluation Committee, we fully expect that this environmental impact statement is going to be kind of the Bible on this project once it's done and finalized.
Because looking at the Site Evaluation Committee, that is a process that's not going to take years to play out. That's a pretty quick process in a matter of just a few months.
Well, it does turn out to be very fast, and it's designed that way. And it's going to be also more difficult for the public to really engage in that process. There are several public hearings associated with it, but for the most part, it's what's called an adjudicatory proceeding, which means it's like a trial.
Yes.
The folks who can come in with attorneys and with representatives and make a case with evidence or cross-examine witnesses, that's not what, you know, every member of the public can do to express their opinion. So the beauty of the federal process is that it is designed to be an open process. It's supposed to broadly solicit information which has to be addressed in the environmental impact statement. And determining the scope of it in this case, you know, it is probably the whole ball game, because if you look at from the very beginning what the purpose and need for the project is, that's really the first piece of the puzzle. It determines, you know, what type of alternatives will meet the need and should be considered. And if an alternative is considered in the environmental impact statement process, it can be deemed preferable or it can be deemed in the public interest.
Got it.
And if alternatives are not considered or studied, then that decision at the end just becomes a foregone conclusion. It becomes a choice between building the project or not building the project. And maybe you know, there's definitely a strong case for not building the project, and that will be played out, you know, in any event.
Mm-hmm.
But there are all these other alternatives that may be preferable, that will meet some of the purposes of this project, that will not have the same degree of impact.
Are they required to come up with alternatives under the DOE process?
That's exactly what, you know, that's exactly what this, you know, that's a good half of the project.
Okay.
that DOE has before it.
But we haven't seen any alternatives up to this point. And even when they first came up with their proposed route a year and a half ago, which is the subject of the public scoping meetings, the alternative route was just, again, the same thing. Above ground lines, it's just going to go through different towns instead.
Exactly. So we viewed that as a unnecessarily narrow view of what alternatives should be. We made that point very clearly to the Department of Energy. Many, many, many other people said the same thing.
Yep.
And that's why it's so critical that this process be done right the first time. Because if you get to the end of the process and you have a 1,000-page document, the environmental impact statement for the whole project, and it doesn't meaningfully consider these things, which everyone's asked for consideration, you have a process that outcome is not based on a solid foundation. It's not based on that hard look that the law requires.
A lot of people will just ask me on the street. They'll just say, you know, they may not know a lot of all the intricate details that you and I do about all this, but they'll just say, why can't they just bury the lines? And I'm like, yeah, that's what you've got to study.
And so if you study that alternative closely in a meaningful, independent way,
yep.
Our view is that, you know, you're going to surface some good information about the fact that it's feasible, that it's cost effective, and that there are some, you know, some places you can do it without impacting important natural resources in a negative way. And so if you follow that analysis, you get to the end result and you've basically steered the project away from the original proposal to something that makes more sense. And that's really the beauty of the Federal Environmental Review. It can accomplish that in a way that the state process is going to have a hard time with. We're going to try to ensure that the state process does the same thing. But right. If we're basing the state process substantially on a lot of work that has been done by the federal government,
sure,
or has been quote unquote done by the federal government, we're looking at a very difficult scenario for New Hampshire. And so, what I would want to make sure people do is, and I think you probably mentioned this on last week, but you can find out more about this conflict of interest problem and what we're asking about by going to our website and checking out all the information.
I was good before I had to wrap this up. I was going to have you give out your website information on that, because you're also doing a petition where people can sign up and let the Department of Energy know through your website.
Yes, we have a very easy mechanism for you to kind of share our concerns and give them to the Department of Energy and go on the record. And I don't think all the comments that have been filed yet have been posted, but there's already been more than 100 put on the DOE's website as a result of this one issue.
Oh, good.
So we're approaching 2,000 total public comments on DOE's website about this project, and we'd like to push that higher. So if you go to clf.org, and on the front page there's going to be an image of the Department of Energy that we'll be rotating through. If you click on that image, it'll go to a post that I did that at the bottom of the post has the link to that action you can take. So please do that. Yep. If you're concerned about this. Read through all the information if you want. If you're just concerned that this process be fair, it's also a good idea to go register your comment to that effect.
It sure is. So it'll go directly to the Department of Energy through CLF.
Yes, and it will be part of the record. And what we're hoping is that, if the public expresses concern about the legitimacy of this process and shares our concerns, that's how things might change. The lower level staff clearly have a particular attitude based on the documents we've seen that is not necessarily in favor of openness and transparency. But that agency answers to a number of sources, including the top of that agency, Secretary Chu, and the administration as a whole, and more broadly to the Hill. So
I was going to say members of Congress as well.
This is all about the integrity of a federal process that's supposed to protect New Hampshire and serve the public interest. And that's what we're trying to accomplish, is having that process.
CLF.org, and feel free to sign up for email alerts on this project. You guys don't pester people every day with email alerts.
No, we're judicious.
you're very good with that, I got to tell you. So, Christoph Corshane, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Brian, for all your hard work on this issue.
And same to you. All right, Bulldog Live continues on The Pulse.